The mystery of Christ unfurled before us in the solemn ceremonies of the Paschal Triduum reaches its apex in this vigil the Church celebrates on this night in ready anticipation of the resurrection of the Lord. After the anguish of Gethsemane and the brutality of Golgotha, tonight we find ourselves in a kind of cosmic stasis, suspended between the things of heaven and earth, in a space forged for this purpose by the sacred liturgy, which, as ever, presents us with uncreated, eternal realities by means of created temporal signs. So it is that the unique symbols and actions of our worship tonight call us out of this world by means of the things of this world, so that we might live forever in the life of the world to come. The first of these signs is the fire, kindled outside in the darkness of the night to give up both its heat and light. It is a blaze that has as many meanings as flames that lick from its hearth. It is a sign of the presence of the living God who made himself known to Moses in the burning bush and now makes himself known to us in the new Moses, in Christ. It is, as the priest prayed in its blessing, the fire of God's glory that burns away all of the world's sin, destroying even death itself. And it is the first intimation of the coming Pentecostal presence of the Holy Spirit of God, who inflames the hearts of the Christian faithful with heavenly desires, and so purifies our minds that we might not simply celebrate well this night's mystical rites, but still more, attain festivities of unending splendor. Set atop the paschal candle and borne aloft through the church, that same flame became for us like the fiery pillar that first led the people of Israel toward the promised land, and now, in the person of Christ, leads the people of God, not by election but by grace, to the church and to its holy altar, to the new Jerusalem, and so to the new temple of divine worship, which is Christ himself and his church. The candle has itself a sacramental quality. In the dates inscribed upon it, it recalls the entrance into the temporal order of the Lord of all eternity, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. It is pierced by five nails, crowned each with grains of incense, a sign of the culmination of all sacrifice and worship of former dispensations in the new and final covenant of Christ, the high priest of our confession. Even its wax, thought by the medievals to be the fruit of virginal bees, is consumed, giving up its light so that we in turn might deepen our knowledge of salvation by the scriptures proclaimed beneath its flame, an allegory of the all-consuming love of God, who gave himself wholly on the cross so that we might know him in this life and live forever with him in the next. And that same candle illuminating our vigil and standing as an ensign of the victory over sin and death will shortly be taken to the baptismal font, where, like the rod of Moses on the rock of Horeb, it will be used to strike through the mundaneness of water and to transform it by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit into the source of new and everlasting life, taking the water that washes away the grime of this world and by God's grace, making it the living stream that washes away even the squalor of the life of old. This unfolding before us of the mystery of Christ in sacramental signs reveals to us the extent of God's love and the extraordinary lengths to which he will go to call us back to himself, to call us back to the gift of eternal happiness with him. It is a tangible means for us to taste and see the goodness of the Lord, to encounter the uncreated God in the created things of this world. But the revelation of the Christian mystery does not extend from history into worship simply to end there. Rather, by the outward signs of the invisible life of God that we come to know in the liturgy, we are ourselves caught up in the glory of the Lord, conformed more and more by grace to his way, made more and more fully instruments of his truth, and given more and more a share in his divine life. That is to say, by our participation in these sacred rites tonight, our lives are changed, advanced from glory to glory in an ever-deepening relationship with the one who has burst the chains of death for us, who has won for us the freedom of the children of God, and so given us a place amongst the inheritors of his kingdom and his life. Tonight, in a most special way, the catechumens who will receive holy baptism will come to this new and living way of grace for the first time. Those of you who will shortly approach the font will be plunged not only into its waters, but into the depths of God's love for you. You will there be born anew by water and the Holy Spirit, becoming one with Christ, and so receiving from him the fruits of his sacrifice on the cross. As new Christians, you, together with those who are to be received into the full communion of the Catholic Church, and indeed all of us who have been given the grace of reconciliation in the past days of Lent, will then come to the gift beyond measure, which is God himself, hidden beneath signs of bread and wine, but truly present, the body, the blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His divine food, which sustains the Christian disciple through the changes and chances of this fleeting world, is the ultimate manifestation of the Christian mystery that has been our guide these past few days. Nothing less than the fruition of all that God has done for us in Christ, and a pledge of our future glory. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.